Good morning. That was fun. Amen. I loved it. Thank you to our children's ministry for your ministry to us. It was awesome. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are some new faces here. Our kids' church is in the service with us. This is Family Sunday, and we had a number of the kids up here doing different things, but as I look across the room, I see some kids that were not up front, and I think you ought to make your presence known. What do you guys think? If you are here and you are kindergarten through the fifth grade, on the count of three, I want you to wave your hands in the air so we all see that you're here, and I want you to say, "We are here," okay? On the count of three, everyone ready? One, two, three.
We are here!
Isn't that awesome? I love having you kids in the service with us. This is a family Sunday. You are important. You are special. And you are loved. Is that not true? In fact, why don't we do something? I'm going to count to three. And the kids are going to say, "We are here," and the adults are going to say, "You are loved." Okay? One, two, three.
We are here! You are loved!
This church loves you, and we are so excited to have you in the service with us today. And guess what? I get to teach the old people all the time. But guess what I get to do today? I get to teach the kids, and I don't get to do that very often. I feel very special. This message today is for you. It is important. It's a lesson in the scriptures. It's important. It has the potential to change your lives, and it has the potential to change your parents' lives. And so let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us through this simple message. Please let your word come alive. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would move across this room and teach us something new or something old but refreshed. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're talking about kings. Everyone say king. And we're talking about servants. Everyone say servant.
Servants.
Kids, this is for you. This message is yours. When I raise this up, we're going to say what?
Kings.
And when I raise this up, we're going to say what?
Servants.
Uh-huh. The question that we're going to answer today is, do I live like a
king?
Or do I live like a
servant?
Does Jesus want you to live like a or does Jesus want you to live like a
servant?
That's the question that we have today. We've been, the adults, all the old people, everyone go like this. That means old in sign language. Now, if someone's really old, you go like this. There's all the old people are here today, right? But the kids are here as well. The old people have been learning about, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, we have been on this road to Jerusalem. Everyone say road to Jerusalem. Okay? And you need to know a little bit of this because it will help us with the lesson. Imagine this is a road in front of us. It starts at Caesarea Philippi, and it's going to end at Jerusalem. And there's some things about this road that will be helpful for us in today's message. And I think I need some help. Someone's here. I believe we need Jesus to come up on the stage. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? No one? Should Adam be Jesus?
Yeah.
Adam, come up on stage.
Yeah.
Adam's going to help us. You're going to help us learn a little bit about this road to Jerusalem. There's two things that's important for us in this lesson to know about this road to Jerusalem. It starts in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus. And one of the things is that Jesus' disciples are coming to really know who he is on this road. In Caesarea Philippi, his disciples said, "You are the Christ." Everyone say Christ. That means you're the king. They're saying, "You are the Christ." Don't get used to wearing that. I'm going to come to the office and he's going to be wearing that. "You are the Christ. You are the king." But did Jesus look like a king? No, he didn't look like a king. But the disciples said, "You are the Christ." They were coming to know who Jesus is. He is the king, the savior of the world. And then later, come over here. There was an event that took place. It's called the Transfiguration. That sounds like I'm speaking a different language, doesn't it? Say Transfiguration.
Transfiguration.
The Transfiguration was the time where Jesus' appearance changed. And when it changed, they saw Jesus for who he truly was. It's the way we're going to see Jesus someday in heaven. They're going to see Jesus as the Son of God. And so Jesus' appearance changed. His appearance changed. Can you see how they were coming to know who Jesus was? They saw him as God. They saw him as the Son of God. That's the first thing I want you to know about this road to Jerusalem that the old people have been studying. Okay? But there's something else I want you to know. Back in Caesarea Philippi, after the disciples said, "You are the Christ," Jesus pointed toward the cross. Be careful not to hit me. Jesus pointed toward the cross and he said, "So, you are the Christ." And he said, "I'm going to die, be buried, and raise again." You are the Christ.
I'm going to die, buried, and raised again.
What do you think the disciples did about that? Never. Peter said never. Never. Everyone say never.
Never.
Jesus predicted his death once. And then after the Transfiguration, Jesus, come over here, we're getting closer to Jerusalem. After the Transfiguration, Jesus again pointed toward the cross. I'm backing up so you don't hit me. He's pointing toward the cross and he said,
I'm going to die, be buried, and rose again.
And what do you think the disciples said? This time they started arguing. Who's the greatest? I'm bigger than you. I'm more important than you. Jesus just pointed toward the cross, but the disciples are arguing who is the greatest. Are the disciples understanding what Jesus wants to teach? No. When Jesus was transfigured before them, God said from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I love. Listen to him." What were they trying to Jesus trying to tell them? He was trying to tell them,
"I'm going to die, be buried, and rise again."
That's amazing. That's the second time. Then on the third time, come over here, Jesus. We're getting really close to Jerusalem now. In fact, we're less than a week away. Actually, about a little longer than a week away. And Jesus is going to say something again to his disciples.
"I'm going to die, be buried, and rise again."
And what do you think his disciples said? That's today's message. That is what his disciples were going to say. That is what we are going to talk about today. There's a couple of other people we might need to help us. We need James. Is James in the room? James? Not that James. We need a different James. Hey James, come on up on the stage. This is one of Jesus' disciples. Everyone say, "Hi, James."
Hi, James.
And then we need another person. This person's name is John. John. Is there John anywhere? Anywhere? Anywhere maybe on my left? There's John. This is John. Everyone say, hello, John. Who is this?
Jesus.
Who is this?
James.
Who is this?
John.
They're going to help us understand this story. I'm going to have Jesus come to this side of the stage. James and John, why don't you come to this side of the stage? I want to tell you a little bit about James and John. Did you know that James and John were fishermen? Did you know that? They were fishermen. They were fishermen. You're not literally going to like cast into the audience. They were fishermen. Does anyone like to fish here? They were fishermen. Now, there's some things that we know about the fishermen. Were the fishermen, did they rule? Were fishermen rulers? Were they big and important people? Were they kind of overlooked? Do you sometimes feel overlooked? Like people don't see you? That's
never
way.
Never here.
What'd you say? Where are you? I pray no one feels overlooked here. We are a family, right? So these guys are fishermen, but they feel overlooked. Sometimes we can feel overlooked as well. And there were big and important people that would rule over them, and they would tell them what to do. I dropped my notes. Could you please pick that up for me? Thank you, son. I could use a little help with my throat. Could you get me a cough drop? I like this. This is my son. You expect me to unwrap that? You expect me to put that in my mouth? Thank you. You can go fishing now. The people who were big and important were ruling over those that they thought were small people. Do you ever feel like a small person? Do you ever feel like unimportant? That's the way the disciples felt. Well, one day Jesus came to them and he told them to follow him. You're not listening. Follow me. And they left their fishing gear and followed Jesus. James and John began to follow Jesus. My prayer for every one of you kids is that you would make the choice to follow Jesus as well. It's the most important choice you can ever make in your life. They started following Jesus. They became Jesus's apostles. And they were part of the inner circle of three. Everyone put three up, three fingers. This is how you sign in sign language for three. They were part of the inner circle of three. They were important to Jesus. And so let's pick up the story. We know these men were fishermen. We know they were ruled over. We know they're following Jesus, right? Yeah. So let's pick up the story. Jesus has just predicted his death. And what do you think they're going to do? I'm going to read the story. By the way, they're impromptu. They're totally unscripted here. That's the best, right? I'm going to read it, and then they're going to act it out so we can see it. Anyone want to see them?
Yeah.
If you want to see them, raise your hands. Yep, I think we're doing this. Why don't you come like center stage? We got to do this right. I'm going to read it, and then you're going to do it. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. Good or bad? I'm getting mixed reviews. I think you got to do it again. More dramatic, please. Go ahead.
Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask.
That's pretty good. We want you to do whatever we ask. Have any of you kids ever wanted something so bad that you went to your parents and said, tell me, I'm going to ask you for something. Tell me yes, no matter what I say. Any of you kids ever done one of those? When I was young, if I wanted to go to my friend's house, I would run up to my dad and I'd say, Dad, please promise me you're going to say yes to what I'm going to ask you. That is what Jesus' disciples just did. Listen to what they say. Are they not saying, do whatever we ask? Does Jesus know what they're asking? No. They're asking Jesus to give them a blank check or a credit card. A credit card to go and do whatever they want to. How many of you would like to have a kingdom credit card from God? If you had a credit card and Jesus were to grant this wish to do whatever you say, what would you want to do with that credit card? Someone tell me. Buy a dino? Okay. You would buy a car. Okay. A Lamborghini. An airplane. One more. Yes. You forgot it? I didn't hear you. A race car, that's a cool one, a fast car. They're asking Jesus, give us whatever we ask for. What do you think Jesus is going to say? Jesus is going to say, oh, by the way, there's an important person that I seem to be missing from the stage. We need one more person. We need a girl. We need the mother of James and John. Do we have the mother of James and John here?
No.
Let's hear it for the mother of James and John. Okay. Who is this? Who is this?
Jesus.
Who is this?
James.
Who is this?
John.
Who is this?
Mom.
Mom. That's cool. Let's see what, let's read Matthew tells the story. Let's see what he says because the mother is in this story. Your mother is in your story as well. So let's, you got to act this out. I'm going to read it and then you do it. Then the mother of James, son of Jesus, I'm sorry. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons. Kneeling, they asked for a favor. So do this again. And it has to be dramatic or we're going to make you do it again. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs down.
Do it again. Thumbs up. All right. Please do us a favor. Who was this mother? Doesn't that seem kind of weird for grown men to ask their mom to go and ask for a favor from Jesus? Doesn't that seem kind of like weird? Doesn't it seem kind of like, what's up with this, guys? Like, is that a manly thing to do? Everyone point to him and say, man up.
Man up.
Man up, guys. Let's see if we can learn something about Jesus' mother. We go to the cross. By the way, you guys are freezing on the stage. We're going to the cross. At the cross, we learn that there are three women at the foot of the cross. There is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Everyone say, hello, Mary.
Hello.
The mother of Jesus. There's Mary Magdalene. Everyone say, hello, Mary.
Hello.
And there's a third woman at the foot of the cross. Who is this woman? Matthew's gospel says she is the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Who are the sons of Zebedee? She was a follower of Jesus. Why would they ask her to come and ask Jesus for this favor? Because she was a follower of Jesus, even followers to his death. When the other disciples ran away, she was there at the foot of the cross. Mark's gospel gives her a name. Do you want to know her name? Everyone say, what's her name? Salome. Salome is her name. Now, are you ready for this? Everyone say, we're ready. Okay. John's gospel says that Salome, everyone point to Salome, is sisters with Jesus' mother. Oh. That's what John's gospel says. You can look it up. John 19:25. And so they have something so important, so big, that they say, Jesus, we want you to promise to give us this thing. And they have something that they really want that's so big and so important that they called in Jesus' aunt. And Jesus' aunt fell down before him and begged, pleaded for this thing. How many of you would feel pressure if your aunt fell on her knees and asked you for something? Raise your hand. You'd feel a little bit of pressure, wouldn't you? So, let's see what Jesus says. They've asked to give us what you want, and this is what Jesus said. I'm going to read, and you guys are going to act it out. What do you want me to do for you? And then they replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Let's see it.
One of us sit at your right, the other at your left.
Thumbs up or down? This is like the Colosseum.
Oh.
We're do it again, guys. No, you guys better do. We're going to be here a very long time. Okay, let's try it again.
What do you want to do for me?
Back once. That's pretty good. Everyone say glory. Glory. I want to hear the kids say glory.
Glory.
They're asking to sit at his left and his right when he's in his what?
Glory.
Glory. The last time that Jesus was sitting, that the Bible mentioned glory, was at Jesus' transfiguration. That's when the disciples saw Jesus as God. And so these men, James and John, listen to this. They knew who Jesus was. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew that he was the Son of God. They heard God the Father say that. And they knew that they didn't understand everything, like this dying on the cross business. They didn't understand all of that. But they knew the future looked pretty good with Jesus. And they're saying, when you sit on your throne in glory, let one of us sit to your left and right. I'm going to show you what they were wanting. Let's look at the slide. They wanted to sit at the left and the right. Now, why did they want to do that? Maybe they didn't want to be overlooked anymore, huh? Maybe they didn't want to be bossed around and told what to do. Maybe they wanted to see what it felt like to boss someone else around for once. They wanted the left and right seats of glory. And here's what Jesus said. Are you ready? Put your hands up to your ear. Okay, here's what Jesus said. You don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. Jesus is not rebuking them. He's not correcting them. He's just stating a fact. You are totally unaware of what you're asking for. Did the disciples understand the first time that Jesus predicted his death? Did they understand?
No.
Did they understand the second time he predicted his death?
No.
Did they understand the third time?
No.
And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. Sometimes I think the Lord would say the same thing when we pray. You don't even know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're asking. Jesus isn't rebuking them. He's just stating a fact. I'm heading south, and you guys are heading north. We're not even on the same playing field. And then Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism of which I'm baptized? Jesus is talking about his death, and here again he's pointing to the cross. Can you drink from the cup of which I drink and be baptized with the baptism which I'm baptized? Say it one more time. Okay, and this is what the disciples said. We can. We can. Everyone say, we can.
We can.
We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup that I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism of which I'm baptized. But to sit at my right and left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom it's been prepared. Just paraphrase it. Was James and John, were they acting like, were their request like a king? Or was their request like a servant? What do you think? King. Do you ever behave like a king? And do you ever behave like a servant? What does God want you to behave like? So Jesus, this whole thing has just taken place. We are the rest of the disciples, okay? Who are we?
The disciples.
We're the disciples. The disciples were on this road as well. What do you think they thought about it? They just saw them ask for seats of honor. Well, what about me? They were not happy with this. In fact, They were indignant, the scriptures say. They were indignant. Mark 10, verse 41 says, the 10 heard about this and became indignant about James and John. Indignant means angry. Indignant means what?
Angry.
Everyone, look at James and John. We're the disciples, right? Everyone look at James and John and go, boo! They were angry. How dare you do such a thing or think, who do you think you are? Okay, let's do it again. And you can add some words. Who do you think you are? Here we go. Boo! Who do you think you are? What do you think the disciples had in their heart, though? When Jesus predicted his death the second time, they were arguing about who was the... When Jesus was about to go to the cross and was at the Last Supper, Luke 22, verse 24 says this, a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be considered to be the greatest. They were wanting the same thing. They were wanting the same thing. How do you think our actors did? Now I held them accountable. That was a pretty weak applause. So let's do this again. How were our actors? Okay, you guys can sit down. Jesus then brought all the disciples together. Who are you? And he had a quick lesson for them. I want you to hear this lesson. Jesus called them together and said, "You know." Everyone say, "You know."
You know.
You know, that's interesting because Jesus had just said, "You don't know what you're talking about." But there's something that they do know. You know. You know. Verse 42. Jesus called them together and said, "You know." Everyone say, "You know."
You know.
What do they know? Listen, that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority. How do they know that? Because they have experienced it. They have seen people lording over them. You know, they knew that's the way the world functions. And then in Mark 10, verse 43, Jesus says this. He's talking to his disciples. If he were here today, he'd be talking to us. He said, "Not so with you. Not so with you. Are you to be a lord? Are you to be a ruler? Not so with you." And then he said, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great must become a what? And whoever wants to be first," everyone put your finger up. You want to learn how to be first? You must become the slave of them all. You must become the slave of them all. Why is that? Jesus set the example. Here we go. We're going to close things up here in just a moment. Jesus set the example. The last verse says this. "For the Son of Man is Jesus, right? For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." The disciples wanted to be like a king or like a servant? Like a king. The disciples wanted to be like a king. Kids, all of you look up at me. The disciples wanted to be like a what? And Jesus said, "You must be like." Did he live like a king or like a servant? How can we live like a king when our master is a servant? How can we do that? We can't. We have to choose to take off the crown and pick up the towel and become a servant. I want to tell you a story to close with. This is a true story, and it happened in Liberia, Africa. This story is all about kings and servants. There's my servant towel. Where's the crown? Can we find the crown? Here it is. Okay, the story. My wife and I lived in the bush of Africa, and the gas stations way back in the bush did not have pumps like American gas stations. In fact, the gas was in 50-gallon barrels, and we would pull up to the gas station, which was 50-gallon barrels. They would put a funnel in our car, and they would dish out the gas by mayonnaise jars, and that was how they calculated the gas. Well, we moved to a new town, and they had a real gas station. We thought we really arrived. They had a real gas station, and in that gas station, they had real soda pops. That was something that We did not get a lot in our last place. But there's one thing better. Believe it or not, in Africa, that gas station actually had our family's favorite brand of ice cream. It was an American brand, Friendly's Ice Cream. We found it in the bush of Africa. Who would think? One day, I drove my car, my Land Cruiser. I told the kids, get in the car. We're going to the gas station to get some ice cream. And they were all excited. We're in the car. We're piled up. We drive into the gas station, and we drive past the pumps, which are really cool. We hadn't seen them in a while. And we pulled our car into the parking spot, got out. We're all smiling, and we hear this. We're like, what is that? We heard it again. We saw the security guard going like this. I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? I looked behind me. I thought maybe someone else. But he was like, and he finally came up and he said, turn your car around. I said, turn my car around? Why? He said, turn your car around. I said, why? That's the way we park cars here. Back your car into the parking space, turn your car around. And so I said, my car is fine, just like it is. I'm a missionary, right? I said, my car is fine, just like it is. And he said, turn the car around. By the way, missionaries, he's the mission field, right? I said, you're abusing your authority. I'm not going to turn my car around. And he said, I need you to turn your car around. And I said to him, do you want my business? And he said, yeah, I'd like to have your business. And I said, my car is fine. We're going to go and get some ice cream. He said, turn your car around. I said to him, I'm going to take my business elsewhere. By the way, there's no other elsewhere. He said, turn the car around. And I said, I'm going to leave here and take my car, and you're going to lose my business. He said, please don't leave. Turn your car around. I said, are you serious? Yes. And so I said, come on, kids, let's go. And, of course, the whole family is not excited about that because ice cream is going out the door. I went home. No ice cream, no sodas. I have a question. Who was the king? Who was the king? How many say the security man was the king? He was being a king. He was doing something authoritative, unreasonable. Come on, guys, you got to help me a little bit. You're making me feel really bad. How many of you say the security man was behaving like a king? Okay, about half the church. I'm going to kind of go home. How many of you say the missionary was acting like a king? We both were. What happens when two kings meet? They fight. That's not the end of the story. On the mission field, we do so many things wrong before we figure out how to do it right. I went home, and the Lord started speaking to me about being a servant. And I thought, I felt like I needed to go back to the store. And when I pull the car in, salute the security guy. That is respect in Liberia. Salute him. Pull my car, my ice cream, and then buy him a soda and say, "You're doing a good job on maintaining the parking lot." That's what I felt like the Lord telling me to do. So I get in the car. Pull the car up. We pull in. He recognized me. I salute him. You know what he did? He went like this. He saluted me back. I couldn't believe it. So then I pulled my car around. I backed into the parking space and went to get out. I was like really surprised. But before I could open my door, guess what happened? He opened the door for me. And I got out, got our ice cream, I bought him his soda, I came back, gave him his soda, and that relationship completely changed from that time forward. Could I ever reach him by acting like a... I would never reach him. Can I reach him if I act like a servant? Yes. And in fact, in Liberia, the security guys, that became my practice. As soon as I pull in, I salute them. They salute me back. Some of them actually, by the time we left, called me Dad. Dad. And that's a sign of respect, obviously, but it also gives you permission to speak into their lives. And I began to pray with the security guards. Every time I would stop in there, I'd pray. And if I forgot to pray with them, guess what they would do? They would say, "Aren't you going to pray for us?" Would that ever have happened if I was a king and behaved like a king? In the church, there are no kings. We except one, right? Jesus is our king. Let's pray.